Three men, each powerful in his own way, stand at the edge of influence. Individually, none of them controls Rome. Together, they are about to bend it. One of them has already conquered half the known world. Gnaeus Pompeius Magnus, Pompey the Great, has returned from the East not just as a general, but as a symbol of Roman expansion itself. His victories have redrawn maps, filled Rome's treasury, and made his name synonymous with military success. Yet, for all his triumphs, he remains dependent on Rome's political machinery to legitimize what he has achieved. Another has mastered a different battlefield. Marcus Licinius Crassus is not known for conquest, but for wealth on a scale Rome has never seen. He built his fortune in the shadows of crisis, turning instability into advantage, financing careers, and shaping influence quietly from behind the scenes. Yet wealth alone does not command loyalty in the same way victory does, leaving him powerful but not fully dominant. Between them stands Julius Caesar, who brings neither Pompey's victories nor Crassus' wealth, but something both of them lack: momentum, visibility, and an infallible instinct for where power is moving next. They do not gather out of friendship. They gather because the alternative is losing ground alone.
Welcome to the Members in the Room podcast, where we share real-life stories about leadership and their underlying human behavior rooted in science and research. We unpack and interpret the evolutionary forces behind it to help you to better lead your people for outstanding business results.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Members in the Room, where we explore leadership lessons that stand the test of time, using history and neuroscience to explain the human behavior behind pivotal decisions. Because those same patterns still shape how leaders and teams succeed or fail in organizations today. I'm Nicholas Bocconi, CEO of Mammoth Leadership Sciences. In the last episode, we followed Caesar as he turned visibility into influence, taking risks that most of his peers avoided. By the time we left him, he has achieved something important. He's known, he is discussed, and he is not longer invisible. But recognition alone does not secure power in Rome or anywhere else. It only invites the next challenge. Today we see how Julius Caesar moves beyond individual ambition and steps into something more consequential: coalition power. Pompey and Crassus have little reason to trust each other. Their interests collide, their ambitions overlap, and their reputations compete for dominance in the same political space. Caesar understands this tension, but he also recognizes something more important. Each of them is strong, but incomplete. Pompey needs political legitimacy to secure the outcomes of his military success. Crassus seeks influence that his wealth alone cannot guarantee. Caesar requires backing strong enough to stabilize his rapid rise and protect him from the consequences of his debts and ambition. Individually, they stall. Together, they accelerate. The decision to align does not emerge from shared values. It emerges from shared constraints. In an environment where delay weakens position and rivals gain ground quickly, cooperation becomes the more rational path, even among men who might otherwise oppose one another. This is how the first triumvirate begins. Formally, the Republic continues to function. The Senate debates, magistrates hold office, and elections proceed as expected. Yet something has shifted beneath the surface. Real decisions begin to move elsewhere. Agreements are shaped in private conversations rather than public forums. Outcomes are negotiated before debates even begin. By the time official processes unfold, the direction has already been decided. The system still operates, but it no longer determines results. This is not collapse, it is bypass. Those who observe closely understand what is happening, even if they cannot openly challenge it. Authority is no longer anchored in institutions alone. It begins to gather around individuals who can deliver outcomes through coordinated action. The triumvirate does exactly that. Three incomplete powers become one. The strength of the alliance lies in how precisely the pieces fit together. Pompey contributes prestige and the loyalty of his soldiers, offering legitimacy that commands attention. Crassus provides financial reach, ensuring that plans can be executed without hesitation. Caesar connects these elements through political agility, translating influence into action within Rome's structures. Each man alone faces limits. Together, those limits recede. What binds them is not trust in character. It is trust in alignment. As long as their interests move in the same direction, cooperation holds. The moment those interests diverge, the foundation weakens. For now, alignment is enough. As the triumvirate consolidates its position, a subtle but important change unfolds across Rome. People begin to adjust where they place their loyalty. Instead of relying on the authority of the Senate or the stability of institutions, they gravitate towards those who appear capable of delivering results. Influence follows effectiveness, and effectiveness becomes visible through coordinated power. Officials continue to perform their roles, yet observers increasingly look beyond titles to understand where real decisions originate. This shift does not require formal acknowledgement. It happens through repeated experience as outcomes reinforce new expectations. And over time, the center of gravity moves. The triumvirate solves immediate problems, but it also introduces new tensions. As each man depends on the others, that dependency creates both stability and risk. Because when success strengthens the alliance, imbalance threatens it. And if one member gains too much influence, the others must respond or risk becoming irrelevant, or at least less relevant. Cooperation in this sense contains the seeds of future conflict. It's this endless game of recognition, airtime, appreciation, etc. For now, however, the benefits outweigh the risks. The Republic has become a system where acting alone invites failure and coordinated action delivers results. The alliance persists because it works. And because it works, it reshapes expectations. With the triumvirate in place, Caesar is no longer simply surviving. He is positioned. Backed by wealth, legitimacy, and growing influence, he now has the support needed to pursue something larger than political maneuvering within Rome. The next step will take him far from the city and into a theater where reputation, loyalty, and identity are forged under very different conditions. Next time we follow Julius Caesar into Gaul, where conquest begins to transform influence into something far more enduring. All right, what does this leave us with as modern leaders? If you want to take away only two things from this episode, it would be these. First, cooperation under pressure often emerges not from trust, but from necessity. When individuals face shared constraints, the human instinct to form alliances activates quickly, because coordinated action increases the chances of survival and success. In modern organizations, this shows up when competing leaders align around common threats or opportunities, even when their interests do not fully match. And second, power frequently shifts away from formal structures towards those who can deliver outcomes. From an evolutionary perspective, humans tend to follow effectiveness because throughout history, aligning with capable individuals improved access to resources and protection. In today's environment, this means influence often accumulates around people who consistently execute, regardless of their official position. The question for leaders is not whether alliances will form. It is whether you understand the incentives that shape them and the role you play within them. All right, this was it again for today. If this episode resonated with you, whether as a leader, a student of history, or someone curious about why power unfolds the way it does, please subscribe, rate, and share it with someone in your network who would appreciate this kind of perspective. And lastly, if you're interested in more, you can order my book. It has the same title as this podcast, The Mammoth in the Room. It offers a practical roadmap how great leaders and their teams embrace evolutionary truths for outstanding business results. And it does it in three sections, on people, on strategy, and on implementation. Until next time, lead wisely, think critically, and don't let ancient instincts quietly hijack your modern leadership. I'm Nicholas Bocconi, and this is The Mammoth in the Room.
Thank you for listening. If you enjoy this content, don't forget to subscribe. I'll see you on the next episode of The Mammoth in the Room.